Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
The Macho Man Randy Savage, and when I want to catch up on all the sports, I listen to the Randy Harris Show. That's the bottom line.
So we are back to you live from Las Vegas, and the Macho Man liner, obviously I loved it. I was going to bring up some wrestling because it's the most excited I've seen you in a while, because I know you love wrestling. And then, of course, AC/DC comes on, and I'm waiting for you to, like, break out in the song.
Far too early. You couldn't afford me.
Well, I'm sure I could. No, I know that, but that was my first thought. I'm like, now he's going to start singing, and we're not going to talk about some wrestling. News that just broke, Matt, and just so you know, I've already purchased it. So you don't need to buy it for me for Hanukkah that just ended, Christmas, Kwanzaa, whatever. But Funko, which announced months ago the release of the Rocky Balboa Apollo Creed Funko figures,
right?
They just announced they're now for sale, and I ordered 3 Rockies, 2 Apollos, and 1 Ralph Macchio.
Why?
So. Luckily, yeah, my wife's going to say the same thing. She wants me to throw all this crap out, and I just spent $100 and some on more. So it is what it is. So at the press conference yesterday, I did learn a couple things. You know, most people that are fans probably know this. Did you know that Tony Romo almost got moved from quarterback to tight end?
The barbecue rib guy?
Yep. He didn't bring enough ribs to the football so they were going to move him.
I love those
and,
ribs.
And he had a talk with the coach. This was the story he told yesterday. And he said, listen, I know that I'm struggling. I know this. I know that. Let me, you know, I think it was like a break or something or whatever. He goes, I'll come back. Give me one more opportunity. I guess he was having completion problems. And he came back and he was like a 21 for 24. And the coach goes, okay, you can stay at quarterback.
Wow.
The best thing of the day, other than Lomas Brown going in. So, you know, the guy would ask one or two questions, you know, softballs, whatevers. And every single person, what is the first or second thing they say? When you win an award, well, not you because you don't win awards. If you win an award, let's say for Tenors of Rock,
right,
and you're singer of the whatever, what's one of the first 2, 3, 4 things you're going to say?
Well,
the group.
Thank you. Right. Thank you to everybody.
Right. Yeah, you're going to thank everybody, but I couldn't have done it without my teammates. I couldn't have done it with the fellas. Yeah. Or I'm sorry. I couldn't have done it without the mates.
Yeah.
You like that?
Yeah, right? Yeah. There you go.
So it goes all the way from Lomas Brown, and it was in alphabetical order. So it does the whole back row. It then goes to the front, 3 people over, and it goes to ESPN's David Pollack, who, ironically, there's a story I'm going to tell in a second about David and my son, Sean. But when it comes to him, he goes, well, since everybody else has addressed their teammates, I'm going to be honest, it was my talent.
Fair enough.
And then every single person after, they go, well, not like David. It's because of my teammates that I got where I got. It was kind of funny. So I was sitting in the front row, Matt, and I jumped up as it was getting ready to start or just before it started. And I went to ESPN's own David Pollack, former Georgia Bulldog. And I said, I need to ask you a question, a legendary story I've been told. I've been told this by my son, who would have no reason to make this up. But I just want to address it with you. So, and this is a true story, Outback Bowl, I asked Sean to go get me some liners, and I'm telling David Pollack this, and he goes, what's a liner?
Okay.
And I said, a liner is, you know, you for the radio show, you're talking sports with Randy Harris, and you say your name and stuff. And he kind of started to get mad because the start of the story is that David Pollack had my son evicted out of the ballroom of the press conference for the Outback Bowl. Because it's an NCAA violation to do a liner, because it's like endorsing back in the day.
Ah, okay.
You know, now you get paid whether, you know, now it's legal to get paid.
Yeah.
And he kind of looked at me, gave me this strange look. I said, hold on, there's more to the story. So a couple months later, they're at a basketball game. My son is at a basketball game at, it's called IMG, you know, Academy. And you walked over and sat down next to Sean and didn't necessarily apologize, but said, hey, I can do that liner now if you'd like. And he said, he looked me straight in the eye. He goes, I don't really remember that, but that sounds like something I would do. And obviously there's no reason for Sean to make up that out of the clear blue, David Pollack grabs a chair, sits down next to him, and you know, offers to do the liner. But I just thought it was a really cool story. And it really happened, because that is something that, he said he would do. So just addressing that with you on the air.
I mean, you do, that is your dirty, like, work. That's what you do. You send your son into the lion's den, you know, getting kicked out of the media event. Yep. I, at the UFC 25th anniversary in Denver.
Almost got ejected.
Almost got ejected.
Hold on a second. Be quiet. So before he tells the story, Jimmy, Matt almost got thrown out of the hotel of the UFC in Denver.
Before Violent Bob Ross got evicted from the UFC, I almost got evicted from the UFC 25th anniversary celebrations because I went to get a liner from an up-and-coming star, Violent Bob Ross from The Ultimate Fighter. Yeah. And the UFC people in the media room were like, none of that's allowed here. If you do it again, you're out of here. And Randy's like, where are you going? Why are you going to get kicked out of the event? Matt Hughes is coming down the stairs right now. Don't you want to be here for that? I'm like, yeah. You told me to go get the liner.
Liners are fine. You're allowed to get liners. I think they just didn't like you. It had nothing to do with the liner.
It's not true. But I'll tell you what, that liner would have been worth a lot of money today.
Why is that?
Well, because the guy's out of the UFC. He's got a tarnished record. And we all know the dirtier you are, like, in real life, the more popular you are on social media.
Well, and that's, you know, getting back to the wrestling standpoint, before we have to go to the break and talk to Dave Feldman. You know, Jimmy, you and I were just talking about this. You know, the heels make a lot of the money, you know, in anything. Yeah. So, you know, if you can build yourself up, and you mentioned Colby Covington, and now it's being, you know, brought out, and I don't lip read, but supposedly when he said something to Usman after the fight, allegedly the comment was, hey, I just wanted us to make some money.
And he's a master at it. I mean, it literally is this idea. You can, you know, you get certain athletes that are very straight down the line. They never change. And that's great. And that's marvelous. But what we actually want to see is the Conor McGregors, the Colby Covingtons.
Israel?
You might not like them. You might not like what they say and how they do their things. But even if you hate them, you'll buy the pay-per-view to watch them get beat. And if they don't get beat, you're infuriated. I mean, that's Floyd Mayweather's made $1 billion with that. It wasn't that he was exciting. It wasn't that he was exceptionally, you know, a big character. But he just made himself the arrogant heel. And, you know, you paid to watch him get beat. Yep. And, of course, he never got beat. So, listen, it's all about making the money at the end of the day.
You can talk about fighters like Matt Hughes until he did The Ultimate Fighter. Yeah. Talk about Anderson Silva. Nobody hated Anderson. Nobody wanted to tune in to watch him lose. They either liked him or they didn't care.
Yeah.
But it's that whole heel. You know, and probably the biggest thing in wrestling history, your guy, Matt, you know, when Terry ripped off the yellow and put on the black and red and became the NWO, and now he's the heel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of people hated it, but they would tune in to watch him allegedly lose.
And also as well, that was at a period of time where wrestling went from one thing, and it became dangerous, and it became a little bit naughty, and it moved into, when it became, even after that, became the Attitude Era in WWE or F or whatever it was at the time. But that whole NWO thing, it's great. What I love about it is, as a wrestling fan, I love that now, 20-odd years on, 30-odd years on, you're still seeing people walk around with NWO T-shirts on.
Yep.
And I don't really see that. And it is just, that's an amazing thing.
I was going to tell a story. I'll tell this one off the air, too. About the bin that I found in my backyard. You know that story, Matt?
No, I don't know.
I'll tell it live on the air then.
Oh, you mean my backyard?
House. Nephew, and I'll tell it in reverse order. My nephew owns Curated Heat, a vintage store on Central Avenue in St. Pete. So I'm looking for, ironically, true story, I am looking for my NWO vintage shirt that I have in my house somewhere.
Right.
It's still in the plastic bag. Okay. And I'm looking for it. I know it's somewhere. I remember seeing it about 6 years ago. It's that and the Chris Benoit shirt that I have.
Wow.
And I didn't want to do anything. I certainly won't wear the shirt. I didn't want to sell the shirt, even though I know what it's worth, because of the story.
Yeah.
So I go into my backyard, and I find a blue bin like you get at Walmart or Home Depot or whatever. And it says, there's a piece of tape on it. It says, Randy's Garage Crap. So obviously that was my wife's doing. I opened it up, and there was roughly 100 vintage WWF t-shirts.
Wow.
That my nephew sold, and I think paid his rent for many months.
Right.
On it. I mean, they're $100 to $300 now.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to the vintage store in Caesars. I forget the name of it.
Yeah,
Urban something.
I know the one you mean.
And the owner's been in my nephew's store, and supposedly his story here in Vegas is he came with no money at all, and he built up this thing that's supposed to be stupid, which I've never seen yet.
Yeah.
You know, his store there. But not to go off on the deep tangent of WWE, WWF. Do you like it still as much today as you did back then? I don't.
Me personally?
Yeah.
Do you know what? I don't. But the only reason is it was special to me. So we have a thing, you know, our cable provider up here in Vegas is Cox. I don't know what you guys use in Florida. But one of the things, you get this channel or this app called Peacock, and it allows you to watch all of the events throughout the entire history of the WWF and WWE. So all I do is watch the first 10 years of the televised WrestleManias and Royal Rumble, because that was when I was a kid and you were invested in these characters and these entertainers and whatnot. But as I've always said, as an entertainer, but also as someone that has, you know, is a big sports guy, I love watching the WWE now just to see the production. The it's much the same as what the UFC do. Everything from the press conferences to the events to the promos to everything that they do, it's just on a different level. And I love seeing Brock Lesnar or whoever it may be coming into the ring and seeing the lighting and the bombs going off and the music and the way that they've just set it all up, I think is quite magnificent. I think it's nothing short of incredible. I just prefer... Back in the day, you know, I'm a Ric Flair, Macho Man, Jake the Snake guy. But that was just because I was a kid and they were heroes to me as a kid, you know.
Now, I have them for you and I forgot to put it in there, but you just said that list, but you wanted the Dusty Rhodes socks.
Oh, yeah, but I love the Dream. I love the Dream. Don't get me wrong.
I meant to bring them. I do have them
for
you.
It's just, it's the polka dots I wanted. Yeah. That's what I wanted.
Yeah.
I didn't want frills like Ric Flair, but I wanted the black and yellow polka dots.
The black and yellow polka dots. All right, let's go hit another break. When we come back, we'll reach out to David Feldman as he's either started or he's involved, obviously, in today's weigh-in for BKFC Fight Night, right? It's a Fight Night tomorrow,
correct? Fight Night. Fight Night.
So we'll talk to the president, the head honcho, David Feldman, when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Have you thought of investing money in the stock market? Well, what's holding you back? Is it the fear of losing your hard-earned money? Don't have the time to babysit your investments? Or are you afraid of the unknown? Well, get ready. We have a proven system that's successfully running for the past 6 years, helping our clients make winning trades with our artificial intelligence-based software. Call now to get in on our free live daily trading sessions, as seats are limited. Call 727-597-4377 or visit us at www.sleepandtrade.com.
Futures trading involves risk. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future results. Go to sleepandtrade.com for our full disclosure.
Jabra Elite 85T True Wireless Earbuds have been engineered with the most cutting-edge noise cancellation technology on the market to give you complete control over how you hear the world around you. It's time to level up the way you block out the world. Go to Jabra.com for more details on these and other great Jabra products, and pick up a pair today.
Calling all Rocky Balboa fans, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. If you're a Breaking Bad fan or WWE or South Park, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. Scarface, Godfather, Back to the Future, and Jaws, and many others available at oddsocksofficial.com. Double Dare, SpongeBob, Street Fighter, and did I mention Rocky Balboa? All available at oddsocksofficial.com. That's odd, S-O-X, official.com. If you can't find a pair to wear, then why do you have feet?
It's back. Outback Bowl 2022. Be there New Year's Day for a first-ever matchup. Big Ten's Penn State with superstar receiver Jahan Dotson versus SEC's Arkansas Razorbacks with dynamic quarterback KJ Jefferson. What a game. Outback Bowl. Don't miss it. January 1, Raymond James Stadium. Ticketmaster.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Country Depot, located at 36 North Broad Street in historic downtown Brooksville, could be the coolest store on planet Earth. From home and garden decor, handbags, and sports items, Country Depot carries a very large variety of unique gifts like nautical, primitive, country, and much more. Follow them on Facebook at Country Depot and stay tuned to Knockout Radio for details on how to register to win a $50 gift certificate. It's called Country Depot in Brooksville and worth the drive.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Jimmy Kimmel from blank. Am I supposed to say from blank? No. And you're talking sports. Your is supposed to be spelled Y-O-U apostrophe R-E with an illiterate man, Randy Harris.
All right, turn back. It's being called an illiterate man by Jimmy Kimmel.
And that's a template for a liner. That's how you do it. Textbook. Put the blank in there.
Yeah, I leave the blank, and David Feldman's standing by, so we're going to get him on any moment as he is out there at the Hard Rock getting ready for weigh-ins and everything that's going on. So we'll have him on here momentarily to discuss the day of.
Yeah, hopefully.
A lot of cool stuff getting ready as the weigh-ins are today, and then fight night tomorrow night out there at Hard Rock. So let's welcome back to the show. Who's now in that running as the guest? It's Tito Ortiz, it's Ryan Bader, and it's David Feldman, who has been on this program the most. Let's welcome back David Feldman. Dave, how are you?
I'm doing well, Randy. How are you?
I appreciate your time. I know a lot of things going on is weigh-ins, and we're getting ready for tomorrow night's fight night. Tell us about the Hard Rock. I've had some people tell me how nice the arena looks, how conforming it is. Give me your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a nice venue. It's a smaller venue, but it's fit really well for this type of show. It's packed. It sold out a couple of days ago. So it's going to be a great show here. I'm looking forward to the atmosphere, looking forward to being back here in Tampa. As you know, we always perform really, really well here in Tampa. The only thing missing this time is Randy Harris.
And I feel really bad about that, and I appreciate you bringing it up. You know, when you mention, the smallness of the arena, I think it's going to add to the fights. I mean, it's going to be more compact. You're going to be almost on top of. I think it's got a lot of cool things brought into it as well.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's still about 1,600 people, so it's not like it's nobody in here. But they're all on top of each other, and then we'll probably end up with 2,000 people by the time, because I always have my comp list, Randy. And then the guys always get really, really mad at me because I give it to them right before the fight. And they're like, where are we going to put these guys? So it's probably going to have about 2,000 people in here tomorrow night. It's going to be a great, great atmosphere, great fight, some really good undercards from some local guys. And then as we go up into the two women's fights and the main event for 155-pound eliminator.
As you're talking about the card, and let's address that right now, a lot of great fights on tap. Can you, at the point, and I know I've asked you this before, and I've been to enough events and I watch you, you know, you're trying to run a business, but you're also a fan and you kind of want to watch the fights as well, but you need to run the business. I know you have Dave there and, you know, you have everybody else that's doing it. How can you totally let loose and sit there as a fan being the president of the organization?
I don't know if I can tomorrow because Junior's actually going home for my grandson's first birthday, actually tomorrow. So he won't be here tomorrow, so I got to kind of run this show. So I don't know if I'm going to be as much of a fan as I want to be. But generally, you know, it's hard watching Bare Knuckle. You've been to a lot of our shows, Randy, and it's hard being at a live event and not becoming a fan of this. It's just hard no matter what you're doing there. I mean, you're watching these two men or two women bang it out with bare knuckles. You hear the sound of the fist hitting the head or the arm or the body or wherever, but you hear that sound, and it's just something that's really intriguing to me still. So I always become a fan. These shows I like a lot, these smaller fight night shows that we're doing, because this is the future of bare knuckle, right? These are the guys that are going to be what everybody's tuning in for next year for bare knuckles. You know, maybe not 2022, but 2023. They're going to be the future stars of BKFC, and that's why I really, really like these smaller fight night shows we're doing.
So Dave, obviously I saw you a couple hours ago. I had to run over to the studio. So what time do the weigh-ins start? How can people tune in? And can you slow it down so I can get back to the Hard Rock Casino on time to be a part of it?
I think you're going to have time. The live weigh-in will start at 5 p.m. It'll be on the BKFC YouTube page or on the Bare Knuckle TV app. So either one of those places you can watch the weigh-in roll out live, or you can get here right to the Hard Rock Casino and watch it live in person at 5 p.m. Eastern time.
I want to go back just for a second, you know, when you mentioned about, you know, fight night and the difference. And I've tried to express to people, and it always upsets me when I'm at an event and, you know, it's half full, you know, to the beginning. And then as we get closer to the main event, that's when people pack in there. I always have felt, you know, the fighters that are lower on the card, and I hope that doesn't come across wrong, or the fighters on a fight night who are fighting for the opportunity to get on those main cards, they're the fights you don't want to miss. They're the ones that you want to either attend or watch, even more so.
I mean, absolutely. You know, sometimes these undercard fights are the best fights that we have, because I actually talked about this yesterday. I said, usually it's the guys that are, you know, wanting to prove something that come out here and just go in there and stand, plant their feet, and bang it out with their opponent. And, you know, they create some of the most exciting fights that we had. Not that the higher tier and, you know, the co-main event, the main event fights aren't very, very exciting in their own right, but these guys are getting to know bare knuckle a little more, so they're getting to know the nuances and, you know, the sweetest science of as it is, so you hit and don't be hit and where to hit. So they're not just going in there a little more carelessly and throwing out like these undercard guys do and create some of these exciting fights. But, you know, look, you've been to many, many bare knuckle fighting championship events, and, I mean, these fights are exciting from start to finish.
Absolutely, absolutely. And now you have a bigger headache on your problem. Lorenzo with the belt, who wants to fight all the time.
All the time. But, you know, Lorenzo, he's hopefully he's going to be a great champion with this and, you know, be around for a long time. He was what we're doing here at Fight Night, right? He climbed up the ranks from nowhere to become a star in bare knuckle, and now everybody knows his name. And, you know, maybe he fights Hector Lombard again in the near future. We'll see if we can get that one together at a different weight at 205. But, you know, he's going to be a great champion for us. Lorenzo Hunt, he knows what I want. You know, I want these fighters not only to go out there and fight their asses off, but to sell themselves as well. And he does a very good job of that.
And you recently signed another one of those guys who knows how to sell himself. And I guess Mike Perry's fight's coming up January or February?
Yeah, February, should be February 18th. It's going to be on Knucklemania 2, and we're going to have a bunch of marquee fights on that one. It'll be the biggest card that we've ever done. Could be one of the biggest fighting events of the year, really. It could be, because we're going to have four superstars on that card, and I think it's going to be amazing in South Florida. That's going to be awesome. Mike will be here in attendance tomorrow night. You know, he wants to see it live again, see what he got himself into. and how he's going to get himself out of it, you know.
That's awesome. I love that. Dave, I know you got a lot of things going on. I appreciate you coming on just before weigh-ins. I'm sorry I'm not there, but I will definitely be at the next one.
Awesome. Awesome, Randy. Well, thanks again, as always. And Matt, I'll see you in a little bit.
Yes, sir.
There you have it. David Feldman, your president of BKFC. He's been great to the organization. He's been great to me as well. And I am sorry that I'm not there, but I had to be at that the college thing yesterday. And Lomas Brown, who just texted me, will be on here in about 10 or 15 minutes. I'm looking forward, or not even that, after this break. So let's hit this break. And when we come back, we will have one of the newest entries, inductees, into the College Football Hall of Fame. Former, I'm going to call him, and I'm going to say this to him, I'm going to call him former Buccaneer, even though most people know him as former legend, and you know my thinking of that word, of the Detroit Lions, Lomas Brown, when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone.
This is Todd Yoder, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Jabra Elite 85T True Wireless Earbuds have been engineered with the most cutting-edge noise cancellation technology on the market to give you complete control over how you hear the world around you. It's time to level up the way you block out the world. Go to Jabra.com for more details on these and other great Jabra products and pick up a pair today.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Gottsplit and Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Gottsplit Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park or call them at 727-290-9873.
The Press Box Sports Emporium is Tampa's favorite place to watch the big game. Known for their chicken wings and the best.
Got bills? Looking for work? But nobody is hiring? Staff Zone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, Staff Zone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the Staff Zone way.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Chris Sims from the Tampa Bay Bucks, and you're talking with Randy Harris, baby.
All right, we're back hanging out here. Final, we're going to talk a little more UFC. We're going to talk some BKFC. We just had David Feldman on momentarily. Sold out arena there, Matthew.
Sold out, baby. It's going to be a great time. I'm excited. I got four dogs in the fight.
1,600/200 people or 2,000 people will be there.
I've got four dogs in the fight, so I'm a little nervous. This is a big show for me.
Michael Vick, we don't talk about that live on the air.
What does that mean? Oh, yeah. Not supposed to do dog fighting, I guess.
Well, good for you. Way to stay neutral and have four people involved in fights.
I know. It's so crazy. I mean, I don't want to cheer, but I think I might. Hold on.
You can't cheer.
Oh, yes.
It has nothing to do with that you're the co-host of the show. It's, you know, you want everybody on the back of that ridiculous Jeep.
I had Chris Lights Out Light on it last night, and you should see, like, my fist pump for my cheer. I've been working on it. DJ Pauly D from the Jersey Shore will be here in Tampa bringing in the new year at Water. DJ Tony let me know about the event coming up. So I got my fist pump going, and I'm going to fist pump on pay-per-view if my fighters win tomorrow night.
I can't wait for this to be your last event. It'll be outstanding.
Before we
introduce our next guest, do we have the liner ready? This liner goes back almost 20-some years.
Was that back when liners were allowed to be used? Or
exactly. Before, I'm trying to find out from the station if he has the liner ready to play.
Getting it up now.
He's searching for it right now. Okay. But let me kill some time in the process if you need a second. So my question.
You're done. Let's play this liner, and then we'll welcome the guest.
This is Lomas Brown, and you're talking sports with Randy, the Monster Jam Man.
I'm now a Monster Jam Man. I love that. Collegiate Hall of Famer on the line with us right now, my good friend Lomas Brown. LB, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Randy. How you doing today, my good man? It was great seeing you two the other day. Great seeing you.
It was fantastic to see you, and I mentioned this about a segment or two ago, that when I bring you on, I'm going to say Tampa Bay Buccaneer Lomas Brown, but of course, more well known as Detroit Lion Lomas Brown.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, you know, Tampa gave me what the Lions couldn't give me in my 11 years there, which was the Super Bowl championship. So I'm good with that. I'm good with that.
You made a comment, and it was so much fun being at that press conference and, you know, hearing some of these stories, and you mentioned how you still dislike Florida State. Will that stay with you forever?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's not going anywhere, man. I got that distaste in my mouth for the that FSU program. I couldn't wait to get down there this year to watch Florida beat them this year. And you know, again, and the quick reason why I'm not I don't like them is because every school in the state of Florida recruited me. I'm talking about FAMU. I'm talking about FIU, FAU. I'm talking about all the little schools and the big schools. Every school recruited me except for Florida State. So I've always had not a chip on my shoulder, but I've had a boulder on my shoulder about those guys. So I love beating them.
You know, and I appreciate you saying that, because I was going to ask, you know, is it, and you just kind of answered it, you know, if you go to Florida instantly, you know, it's the dislike for FSU. If you go to, I don't know, went with the Bucks instantly, the dislike for the Carolina Panthers. But there's more to it with you. There's a reason, not just because of the interstate rivalry.
Oh, yeah, because actually my dad grew up in Tallahassee. So I got a lot of relatives that live in Tallahassee. Heck, I was in Tallahassee a couple of weeks ago. So, you know, it's love on that side of the family. It's family love down there, but it's not FSU or Florida State love down there.
Gotcha. How funny did you think that comment from David Pollock was?
Oh, man. Hey, and the crazy thing about it, too, Randall, was that I did not know that, and you remember in my comments, when they asked me what were the schools or my moments at Florida, it was beating Georgia and beating Auburn back to back. I did not know Coach Vince Dooley was sitting up in the audience then, man. So I was glad I didn't say anything too bad about the University of Georgia. But I didn't, until David Pollock said that Coach Dooley was there, I really didn't know that. And, you know, it was funny what David said as far as, you know, he got there on his own. He didn't need teammates or he didn't need anybody. It was just off his individual talents that he got to the College Hall of Fame.
it definitely was funny. I went up to him and I said, I have a legendary story I was told, and I just want to ask you about it. And this is true. This happened. So when David was with Georgia, they were playing at the Outback Bowl. And I sent my son to go get a liner for the show, just like the one we just ran that you did back in the day. And David had him removed from the building. He had the security evict my son from the building because back then, you know, now you can get paid to play collegiate, you know, ball or really any sport. It was an NCAA violation, even though they all did it. A lot of guys did it. He had my son evicted out of the building. Now, my son won't do liners ever again because it really, you know, hit him hard. But 5 months later, he's at a basketball game at IMG in Sarasota. And I guess Admiral Farragut was playing. And my son says, and there's no reason for my son to make this up, my son said out of the clear blue, David Pollack pulls up a chair, sits down next to him at a game 5 months later, and says, hey, I can do that liner now.
Oh, my goodness. Are you serious?
Yep.
That's crazy.
And Dave said, well, you know, that's something that I would do. You know, I don't necessarily remember it. It was many years ago, but that's something I would do. So it went from he gave me a dirty look from when I said, you know, and I started to say you had him evicted. I said he was evicted. But, yeah, just some of those stories. And, you know, we don't get to hear that kind of stuff, whether it's, you know, him, it was his talent, not his teammates, or you saying it was your teammates and the whole line. Yeah. You know, you get to, you know, hear some really cool stories.
Oh, you do. I mean, and some legendary stories, too, Randy, on top of it. I mean, I enjoy some of the stories from the coaches and the other players and the other guys that were up there. It's just amazing, and especially when they start reading off their resumes and you see what these guys accomplished while they were there at their universities for those 4 years or 3 years, however long they were there. It was some outstanding things that these guys accomplished while they were at their university. So it was just great to catch up with those guys, because a lot of those guys I played against, and it was just great hearing some of those stories that you had never heard before.
I have always said when it comes to, and I don't mean to be disrespectful, even though it's going to sound it, obviously not to you, I would never do that, I'm just saying in general, I've called a lot of the Hall of Fames the Hall of Very Goods. Because, you know, there are some players in some Hall of Fames that, you know, they had a good career, not legendary Hall of Fame careers. When they ran off that over 5.5 million collegiate football players, and I think he said it was just over 1,000 are in the College Football Hall of Fame, that's impressive numbers.
That is. It's astounding numbers to me. I mean, to think about all the players that have played NCAA football. And like you say, just 1,000 guys have been chosen to go into the College Football Hall of Fame. It's amazing. It really is. And, I don't know the percentages compared to the pros. I'm quite sure that's a much greater percentage compared to going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But it's just awesome just to be recognized. And their criteria, too, if you think about the criteria for getting in them, not only is it what you do on the field, but it's also what you do off the field too. So, you know, it's just great company to be in. And, you know, I can always say, man, that now I'm a College Football Hall of Famer.
Talk to us real quickly about, you know, the emotions when you got the notification last year. And then because of COVID in 2020, you know, they didn't get to do the banquet, and they couldn't do the banquet in New York where it's been every year because of still COVID-related issues. To relive, you know, the announcements and now go through it again, what was that like to get the original call and then go through it last night?
The original call was awesome. It was just awesome. You know, I had been nominated a couple of times and it didn't happen. So when I finally got that call, man, it was just like I was just elated. You know, it was like I was walking on cloud nine. And then, like you said, man, and I don't think it was as bad with us not doing the ceremony, because everybody knew how serious this COVID was and, you know, how many lives it had taken. And, you know, everybody was just being cautious and, you know, being on the side of caution. So I wasn't very disappointed about that. And, of course, it's just great for them, not only for them to honor us and then honor the class of 2021, but like you said, moving into a venue out in Vegas instead of New York, believe me, it was a lot warmer in Vegas than I guess it was in New York the other day. So they did a great job. The hospitality was great. Getting that college football Football Hall of Fame ring and the watch, you know, it's just something about it And like I say, just being around all those great, great players, just the ones that went in, but also the former players that were around now, the Archie Griffins, the Peyton Manning, just being around all of those guys like that, it's just a night that I'll never forget.
Hey, Lomas, Matt here. I know you grew up in South Florida. Obviously, you know, we all know about the legendary Miami Hurricanes in the 80s. You know, and what was it that drew you to University of Florida? And with this week, they announced that Mario Cristobal took over the head coaching job in Miami. It looks like they're trying to get back to that standard of excellence. And as an up-and-coming player, how important is the head coach in your decision versus, like, the culture and the history of the school?
I mean, again, I'll speak for myself. You know, I went to Florida because of Coach Pell. You know, I really did. My recruiter, Mike Brown, and Coach Pell, that's why I went to the University of Florida. Now, once I got there, I mean, everything else just fell into place. Beautiful campus, you know, rabid fans that we have, great alumni that we have, and just, you know, being in the SEC, I think the best conference in America. So all those things played into play. But to me, you go there because of the coaches, because of the individuals that walk in your house and talk to your parents and tell your parents that they're going to make you a better individual by getting involved with their program and going to their school. So that was the biggest draw for me. And the reason why I didn't go to the University of Miami is I just felt that I needed to get out of Miami. You know, born and raised down there, and I just was looking for a change. And going to Gainesville, 5 hours up the road from Miami, it was the best thing for me. And just a quick story on that, you know, if you look at my scholarship today, there's only one signature on that scholarship, and that's my mom's, because my dad refused to sign it because he wanted me to go to the University of Miami. He was, you know, so he didn't even want no parts of signing my Florida scholarship. But I have to say, once I did sign my scholarship, my parents only missed one game of my four-year career. So they were great supporters. My dad was a great supporter of me going there. But at first, it stunk. He just refused to sign my scholarship. And like I tell everybody, if you look at it, you'll just see my mom's name on it. So that was the reason why I didn't stay in Miami. And I think Mario Cristobal, I think he will be bringing that program back because he knows it. He has those roots. He's been in that program. He's part of that culture down there. And I think he's going to do a great job of recruiting and bringing that program back.
That is an incredible story. I did not know that.
That's awesome.
That's unreal, Lomas. Before we let you go, what are you doing nowadays? What's keeping you busy?
Well, the Detroit Lions are keeping me busy these days. I'm the radio commentator for the Lions, Detroit Lions. And as you guys know, it's been a rough season, man. We finally got off the slide and got our first victory last week versus the Minnesota Vikings. I leave Saturday to head out to Denver. We face the Denver Broncos. So hopefully we can try to stack some wins on top of each other. But it's been tough this season. Dan Campbell, a guy that I played with for 2 years with the New York Giants, who is the head coach now, a great friend of mine. I'm really pulling for him to really resurrect this program. Because, again, you know, we've been going – through the last 3 years, it's been really tough. And I think we're starting to get our feel. And I think these guys believe in Dan Campbell, and they'll follow this guy through the thick and thin. And I think that's what you have to have, somebody that you're willing to follow. And Dan Campbell is the right guy for this job. So hopefully we'll get another victory on Sunday in Denver.
So you got the best of both worlds. You had a great career. You were able to leave what you love. Now you get to stay involved without having to practice every day.
Man, look, I don't have to go home sore. I don't have to run no sprints. You're absolutely right. I don't have to pass at anybody. All I do is put on those headphones, get up in that booth, and talk about what I see. And that's, like you say, that's the best of both worlds. I feel blessed to be able to do that. Like I say, now, one thing I need some more victories. because it's always better talking about a victory than a loss. So if we get some more victories, that would be the cream on top of that. Oh, that would be the cherry on top of the cake.
That is so definitely true. That is so awesome to see you yesterday here in Las Vegas. Congratulations on going into the College Football Hall of Fame. Hopefully we can speak again real soon. We're going to put you on hold real quick to get your address so we can send you a care package from 8 Man Strong, some swag, as well as a pair of earbuds from Jabra Electronics. And then go to this website. It's called oddsockofficial.com, and let me know what socks you want from this company. We send them out to all of our guests, but I'm going to let you hand pick which ones you want.
My man, that's what I'm talking about. You come on the show and you get swag, it don't get any better than that. I appreciate it, my friend.
Your look on your face when you saw me yesterday will get me through the rest of my life, just so you know.
That was awesome, man. It's always great seeing you, my friend.
Same here. Stay in touch. We're going to put you on hold and get your address. That is okay. Former Gator. Former, and like I said, Tampa Bay Buccaneer. We're not going to say Lion, Tigers, Bears, Cubs, any of that stuff.
Oh, my.
Former Tampa Bay Buccaneer and Super Bowl champion, Lomas Brown. What are you saying, Matt?
Once a champion, always a champion, according to Dustin Poirier.
Yeah, but not according to you.
Well, yeah, you're not a champion until you get beat, because even a loser will keep going when they're winning.
See, he said just
Jimmy. Stuff. Jimmy, you don't like it? Jimmy, come on.
Yeah.
Weigh in on that.
Weigh in on this. So he believes, because some fighters have said this, and Knucklehead back there in the studio, that you're not a champion until you defend the title. I don't buy that.
Because, look, a loser will keep going if they're winning, but and it's not until you get beat, and then you come back from that, they would call you a champion.
I don't know. I think you win the belt. You're a champion. My issue is when Dustin Poirier is a perfect example. When they'll sit at a press conference with a belt in front of them, like an interim belt, I can't have that.
That's, I agree. I'm okay with that.
That is, and then the UFC will say it's champion versus champion. I'm going, that is utter nonsense. So, absolute nonsense. It's the biggest load of tripe I've ever heard in my life.
Well, and hopefully I'll still be credentialed on Saturday for the UFC, because I've always said it's a fake belt. It's not a belt. It's not a championship belt.
I mean, what is it? I mean, I think it's a pathetic thing. And we, you know, boxing now has this gluttony of there's so many different initials and belts, and you know, you have four respected organizations in the world, fairly respected, probably three of them, if I'm being honest. You know, but to win one of those belts, you can call yourself the champion. I still struggle to say the champion, because until you own all of them, then you're not the champion. You know, you're just a champion.
I like it, Jimmy.
So I don't get it. So when you see a unified world champion, and actually one of the only ones in the world right now is Scottish, just saying.
like how he slid that in there.
Yeah, I love it.
You've got to get it in. You've got to be, I've got to get my, you know, sort of big up the boys. But yeah, I don't know. I just think, first of all, interim belts need to finish. That needs to stop, because you get people wandering around with these belts over their shoulders, and it's very cringy. But I do believe you win the title. I mean, you know, one of my favorite moments is when Michael Bisping knocks out Rockhold, and after this entire career, and obviously being the face of British MMA and being the guy that got us all involved in the sport many years ago, you know, he wins it. They throw the belt on him. He is the champion of the world. I mean, he did defend it, but you know, I think the minute you win that fight, you become the champion.
Absolutely.
None of that nonsense.
Absolutely. And, you know, next time we go to a UFC, Matt, I want you to go up to, we'll figure out somebody that won it and didn't defend it, and I want you to tell them that they're not a champion.
Hey, well, Rockhold would probably get knocked out in the pillow fighting competition. I mean, but speaking of fake things, I'm watching the Juicy Smollett case on the TV here in the studio. They've got the trial.
Let's get political now. Thanks.
No, but no, it's a fake trial where he set up his own fake hate crime. But as he's leaving the courthouse, they're walking through the crowd like the old UFC days when the Gracies had a hand on the shoulder in front of them, and they're walking through the street in a mob of people. And I miss those original UFCs where, like, literally 30 people would escort you to the middle of the octagon and then just disappear in the crowd.
I got to be honest, and I know that I've said this numerous times. It's one of the things I do miss in the UFC. I loved the ramp back in the day.
Yeah.
Seeing Tito Ortiz walk down the ramp. Or I know that I've told this story. So I walked down the ramp once, and I was never so scared in all my life because it was a metal graded ramp.
Yeah.
And I was afraid that I was going to slip and fall.
Yeah.
And I honestly don't remember if I held the belt or not. I think I carried Matt Hughes' belt. This was in London when he defended against Carlos Newton. And, you know, you're taking these, like, baby steps because you're so afraid you're going to slide down,
yeah,
you know, on pay-per-view and do all that kind of stuff. But I miss the ramp.
I think they should now, now in the 21st century where we're now looking for the next thing to make us laugh.
Light the ramp on fire.
Light the ramp on fire, put thumbtacks on the ramp, have the ramp made of ice.
Yeah,
and whoever
yeah.
makes it to the big in good condition. I think there's... there's a whole scope for a brand new entrance.
If they do that, Matt, if they do that, Jimmy, your champion would be Mankind.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah, it's set up for him. It's perfect for him, actually.
What one wrestler, and I don't know how much you're into wrestling other than, you know, your BFF over there, Matt, in Terry Bollea. What one wrestler, if you could bring back one wrestler into the ring in his heyday today to watch, who would it be?
Oh,
what? Well, you go first, Matt.
I mean, that's a loaded question. I don't know. I'm going to go with Ultimate Warrior. Just give his intensity. Actually, you know what? I'm a bigger Ultimate Warrior fan now that I got to know the guy behind it after his passing and his death. But I think the Ultimate Warrior would have been my favorite if I would have been older at the time and understood who he was behind the mask. I think Ultimate Warrior would be my all-time favorite.
I'm going to go
with... any more stalling time?
No. I'm going to go with... I think I'm going to go with Jake the Snake Roberts. I'm going to go with Jake the Snake.
Have you seen the third? It's like the 30 on 30 on him?
I've seen the documentary.
Yeah, the documentary, which really isn't about him. It's about his dad.
it's unbelievable.
Oh, it's...
Yeah. But I bring the Jake the Snake... I admire Jake the Snake Roberts above most wrestlers because he had a way of being. He was a performer without having all of the attributes of what was then acceptable, you know, the Hulk Hogan being 6'9" and being 300 pounds and the muscles, and he didn't need any of that in a time where everyone was huge and that was the appeal. He managed to be a big star by being, well, you know, not skinny because he's not a small guy, right. But it wasn't about the look, it wasn't about the weight, it was just about the personality, and I love that.
I was leaning towards saying Dusty Rhodes,
yeah.
You know, just because I enjoyed watching him. But I think when you think of stories and outside of stories, you may have to even, or at least me, I'm thinking DDP. You know, the story of, you know, he went from the manager and Dusty Rhodes kind of, you know, talking him into, yeah. you know, believing in himself and all that kind of stuff. So I'm going to go with DDP. And I know we only have a couple minutes left, Matt, so let's look at the card on Saturday.
Yeah, you know, look, you're talking about Dave Feldman, talking about how the undercard, usually there's a lot of great fights and people don't get there early enough to actually see them live when they have the tickets in hand. Same thing here. You got your Alabama connection, your boy Eric Anders. On the early prelims, UFC 269 taking place in Vegas. On your preliminary card, it's crazy that you have a legend in Dominick Cruz at the bantamweight fighting Pedro Munhoz, and that's on your prelim card. So that just leads up to the Josh Emmett fight, which is the main event at featherweight on the prelim against Dan Ige. And then, of course, your main card is just absolutely stacked. You've got Sugar Sean O'Malley, Cody Garbrandt, Amanda Nunes versus Juliana Pena, and then your lightweight main event, Charles Oliveira versus Dustin Poirier for a real belt, not an interim belt. So, stack card, it's definitely the right choice for you to be in Vegas covering this for Knockout Radio. I will hold it down here in Tampa for BKFC Fight Night tomorrow night at the Hard Rock Casino for BKFC.
Let me ask both of you, I know you're trying to get it out early, I'm not going to let you. Let me ask you this. If Oliveira wins, I'm taking Poirier, but if Oliveira wins, does he take the fake interim belt with him?
I hope he breaks it like Lorenzo Hunt broke Hector Lombard's belt. They should break the interim belt. Whoever loses, the interim belt gets broken.
Lorenzo Hunt took Hector Lombard's belt and slammed it twice. So two of the letters broke off of the belt. So then after when he won...
Yeah.
and they went to give him the new belt, he refused that belt. And he gave the new belt to Hector.
Right.
And he took the broken one that he broke. Good move by him.
And new KC champion of the world.
So I think Charles Oliveira is going to win. Because everybody knocks it. I love Dustin Poirier. I think he's one of those guys that deserves to be a champion. He carries himself well. He's an exciting fighter. I do really, really enjoy watching him fight. And I know Charles Oliveira on paper should not win this fight. But whenever, you know, I mean, Michael Chandler was all over him. Was all over him in that last fight. And he just found a way to win. And I think once you've found that way to win, especially if you've gone through it all, I think he's going to step up.
Poirier has 412 KOs. Oliveira has 6,432 submissions. So that's what it's going to come down to.
We need the mathematician again.
We do. It's a draw.
Who's going to win? I'll try to get a hold of the mathematician.
We all win. That's the answer.
In. I know we're out of time. Matt, enjoy BKFC tomorrow. Jimmy, thank you very much for sitting in.
Always a pleasure.
And allowing me to move Matt further down the line makes it even better. This has been Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. We'll both be back in town next Wednesday. See you then.
In a nice night, little shave. I gave Susie a little pat up on the booty and she turned around and said, walk this way. I was born in a plane.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Lomas Brown, and you're talking sports with Randy, the Monster Jam Man.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.